Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your brother Elohim back on the line, live and in living color. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on being with yourself. By doing this, I will be walking the path of delight and I will get what I want. Isn't that what we want? We want what we want. Topic for today is why aren't our prayers being answered? Bible 2.0. We're talking about the Bible as a code book. Not as a religious book. Well, I can't say not as a religious book because the meaning of religion has been hijacked from us. Boy, that's kind of interesting. How can you hijack the meaning of a word? Religion means realigning yourself with source energy. In order to realign yourself with source energy, you literally have to know what source energy is. Okay? So as you go into the meetings with the churches and the ministers and everybody's telling you what God does. Oh, my goodness, God does this. God is the judge, the sustainer. He does everything. But who's telling you what God is? Okay? Now, those of you on the line will be open. The question on the board for tonight is, who God is? Now, don't call in and tell me what God does. Everybody knows what God does. But we want to know who God is, okay, or who Allah is, okay? This is what we're dealing with today. Now, the question, the topic, one of the topics that we're going to be dealing with is, why aren't our prayers being answered? That's a good question. Those of you who read the Bible, well, I'm a Bible thumper, you know that. It tells you in Psalms 82 why your prayers aren't being answered. In Psalm 82, it's oh, boy. I'm trying to make it today, but my voice is starting to jam up already. So we're going along as we can. If Psalm 82 is accurate, okay, you know, let's just put our thinking caps on for a minute. If Psalm 82 is correct, who are your praying to? I mean, just stop. I'm not trying to be facetious. Just asking the question, if Psalm 82 is correct, now we know the Bible is correct. Oh, boy. So if Psalm 82 is correct, you have to ask yourself the question, who am I praying to? If you listen to the song, the national anthem, as it plays, it'll tell you the enemy that you have to fight is in your mirror, you know? That's your enemy. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. And it says that a people perish from a lack of wisdom, lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. Well, the correct phrase is lack of knowledge. But interesting, okay? How we've been sojourning in this country all this time, and certain fundamental things that we've been dealing with, we don't know, you know? And the information has been given to us by our ancestors in such a way that it would take until now to fully understand exactly what the book was talking about. Now, I've been getting some pushback from the powers that be because they do not want you to know how to read this book. I've talked with so many people who they belittle the Bible because they don't know how to read it and wondering why they don't have any power when the 1%, okay, the so-called conquerors of the planet, this is the code book that they use to take your land from you, to take everything that you have. This is the code book that they use. First thing they did was they needed a military. Now, where in the world are we going to get a military from? Okay. How are we going to put boots on the ground? Well, it takes a little while to literally develop your military if you follow the code book of the Bible. Wait a minute. The Bible don't talk about building a doggone military. You read the story of Abraham. Everybody talks about Abraham this and Abraham that, where he went through his sojourn. What happened in Kemet with him and the Pharaoh, and oh man, it goes through the whole 9 yards of the story are designed to set up as cult reading. Okay, I know that's gonna bother a few of you, but at least you ain't hung up yet. That's good. The story was set up as cult reading. Okay. But there's a method to the stories. There's a reason why the stories were put in the book in the first place. Okay, it's like watching the Three Little Pigs. Some people say the Bible is like, well, it's like reading the Bible is like reading Three Little Pigs. But they're right. But there's a moral to the story of the Three Little Pigs. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're not dealing with. See, well, it's all fiction, though. It's fiction if you're not getting the information from the story. Don't build a house on with straw. Don't build a house with hay, you know what I mean, or wood. Build a house out of brick. Make your house strong. And that way, it can't blow it down. That's a story from Three Little Pigs. So we can talk about the grass house and the wood house and this, that, and the other, but we never get into the moral of the story. See what I'm saying? So this is how the book is set up for you. There's morals to the story of the book. Now, we're talking about, why don't we have no army? Abraham, that was a story about, the moral of the story was where he got his army from. You understand what I'm saying? Just think about it for a minute. You're wondering why you don't have no power. You understand? The power, you have plenty of power, but you're not using the power that you have. Abraham's nephew got kidnapped. He took an army to go get his nephew. Where in the world did this man get an army from? Okay? We're breaking the codes down there. Now, it won't be long. If I keep doing this every Sunday, it won't be long for Blog Talk to kick me off the airwaves. So you better hang in as long as you can. But I'm just saying, the army was his descendants, the children. That's where the army came from, teaching and training your children in the art of war. If you watch any of the Chinese movies, okay, they have the king and the queen. All of their sons are proficient warriors. All of them. They know how to sword fight and jump around and do all the martial arts. And they're the best at it. You know, they win all the tournaments because they have special training, special kids, special skills for their children. Okay? This is where the armies came from. This is what the Bible was telling you. That's how Abraham got his army. Now, ask yourself this question, those of you on the line with children. How much military training did you give your children? What did you really prepare your child for? You know what I'm saying? Somebody mess with you. You got 6, 7 children. Somebody mess with you. You pick up the phone. You're supposed to have a little small platoon coming to your rescue, armed, secure, and ready. You know? We're not teaching our children that because we don't know the code of the Bible. We don't know how to follow the Bible. Okay? That's just one example of what you're supposed to be doing. We talk about, oh, man, we have to deal with the tree of life. Tree of life. This is what I'm saying. You're supposed to eat from what the tree of life produces. Okay? So if you're, that's why I'm telling you now, your children are the tree of life. The greatest gift that the female and the male children can give you is more children, because that's your tree of life. If you eat from what your children are producing, you'll be prosperous, okay? Because what you're producing, this is where the jobs come from. If you ain't producing nothing, how are you going to hire your offspring? They got to go to college and go out looking for, with a resume in their hand, out looking for a job from somebody else, because you haven't produced nothing to put on the marketplace. Once you start producing, that takes you into commerce, okay? Buying and selling your goods, all right? Let me take a little different twist here. Now, listen carefully. We're talking about slavery, right? A slave master. Wait a minute, Brother Elohim. How can I be a slave master? I don't own no slaves. Yes, you do. You own a very powerful slave. You look at it every day in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is why you're a slave master. Now, You have the spiritual side of the universe, and you have the physical side of the universe. The spiritual side ain't going into a plant making tires. The spirits don't do. Spirits don't be out here making nothing. But that spirit inside the physical body, now the physical body can go in and make whatever it wants on a physical plane. You know what I'm saying? So the object of the 1% is to do what? To control your slave. That's what it's been all about. Because your slave is where the money's at. Your slave is the producer. And they want control over that thing. You follow what I'm saying? They do not want to lose control, we say, over people, but they know. They know that if they can control the if they can control the mind, follow what I'm saying, then they can have you turn your slave over to them. Wait a minute. Why would I turn my slave over to somebody else to prepare or to program to produce for them and not for me? Well, think about this for a minute, okay? They're passing sweeping laws to get your children in school away from you. You turn your children over to them every day in the schools. Yet they're preparing that mind so that you can turn that slave over to them. You're glad to go to work. Oh, man, I got to get out and get me a job and go to work. Why are you so worried about putting your slave to work? What are you putting your slave to work for? You're supposedly putting your slave to work so it can produce for you. Think about it for a minute. Okay? You are a slave master. I don't want to get too far off topic, but once I get into that, you know, there's some of the things that we don't talk about. You have to learn how to control yourself. You have to learn how to be a producer. Ask yourself the question, what am I producing that I can put on the marketplace and make money for my children? You follow what I'm saying? I'm just throwing this out here, right? But think about it for a minute, all right? The Bible is a code book. It will give you codes to get out of the mess that you're in. Okay, now let's go back to the main topic for today, right? Now, the question that's on the board today, who is God? Now, that's the question on the board. Now, you got to answer that. I'm not talking about what God does now. I'm not talking about he's the church and the state of the world. He sees all that. I ain't talking about that. That's what God does. The question that we want you to answer, just hit one on your mic, hit one on your phone, And I'll open up your mic and you can explain to us who God is, not what God does, okay? Because every time you ask somebody about God, they start talking about what he does. Oh, God sustained me, God got me, God just got me. But who is God? If you know the answer to that, hit one, put one on your mic, put one on your phone, and you can tell everybody, you explain to everybody who you think God is, okay? Now, our question for today is, who are you praying to if Psalm 82 is correct? And I believe the Bible is absolutely 100% correct. It's a code book, okay? We have our children putting the Bible aside, big mistake, okay? As a code book, if Psalm 82 is right, all right, who are you praying to, okay? Now, let's go into that for a minute, all right? You have the physical side of yourself. Everybody's talking about, well, I'm going to go to heaven, my spirit this and my spirit that. So you got the physical side and you have the spiritual side, okay? Now, the spiritual side, okay, that incorporeal energy that lives inside of you, all right, that controls this body, which we call the slave, all right, that incorporeal energy that's inside of you, that's the God they're talking about. That's your Elohim. See what I'm saying? Now, once you accept the fact, consciousness, see, that spirit consciousness, that's what we call the Christ consciousness. That's where Christ comes in. But that's a whole nother, lecture there. We'll get to that a little later on. But that spiritual side is what controls your physical side. that's why we say the physical body is a slave, because you can make this physical body do whatever you want. If you tell it to go jump off a bridge, it's going to jump. It's going to complain, say, oh, Lord, you know, this is going to hurt when I jump off this bridge. But it'll jump if you tell it to jump. You're in total control of this physical body. That's why we're calling it a slave. That's why we're calling you a slave master. You have to learn how to master this body. And this body is supposed to be producing something for the benefit of society. Okay? Now, as a man, right, you're subject to nature. Okay? You can go outside, flap your arms, a man or a woman, let me keep it real. You can go outside, flap arms all day long, and you're not going to fly nowhere because it's not natural for a man to fly. But God, the Ankhpore energy that's controlling this body, this slave, is not locked into nature. See what I'm saying? It's above nature because you made nature. You see what I'm saying? So when you're ready to fly, what do? You build your plane. You ready to get off the planet? This planet don't control you. This planet don't hold you. Nothing can hold that Elohim that's inside of you. That's, we call that the Christ consciousness. Once you're conscious of the Ankhpore entity that's inside of you controlling everything, that's your Elohim. That's why when you really research Elohim, it's plural. Okay? Ain't no one Elohim nowhere. Okay? Now let's go back to Psalm 82. If Psalm 82 is correct, okay, that's the first key to unlocking the entire book. But you have to put the keys on the book and turn the key. If you don't turn the key, the door is not going to open. You can knock on the door, either somebody can open it for you, or if you have the key, you can turn the lock and open the door yourself, okay? So the thing is, let's just do that one key. You know, we'll move to other keys. We talk about where you're going to get your army from, okay? As that's one code dealing with the story of Abraham. Now, if you put that one key, let's take that one key. Now, put one on your phone. If you have a comment or you disagree, you know, if you want to answer the question, who God is, not what God does. Now, don't call it, tell me that God is the cherishing sustainer and he sees all, knows all, no. You don't want to know what God does. We want to know who God is, all right? And before I leave here today, we're going to talk about who God is. But we want to know who God is. So hit one on your phone, press one, and that will let me know that you have a comment or something to say. Now, if you disagree with me, you want to call me, say it's a bunch of crap, that's cool, too. Let's dialogue. That's fine. I'm right here. You know what I mean? Challenge me on some of the stuff. It's cool. Now, check this out. Let's put Psalm 82 on the book. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. That's what it says. Now, if you put the code on the book, see what I'm saying? That means that men and women at one time had the technology to make planets, suns, satellites, and moons and everything else. That's what it's telling you. Now, wait a minute. It don't say man made anything because man can't go beyond what nature has allowed for man. But God can, see? That's why it calls you a God, because you have unlimited potential to do whatever you want. Once you accept the fact that there's a powerful entity inside of you that can do, that can make the slave do whatever it wants it to do. So now, wait a minute, let's put that to the test, brother. And are you just throwing stuff out there, man? No, yeah, you're right. You can't Google this stuff, okay? This is beyond Google. This is beyond your internet. But it's not beyond your ability to reason. The moon is a satellite. That's what the moon is. Are we putting satellites up there right now? Yes, we are. The technology is growing in leaps and bounds. What we're doing 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and what we're doing now is absolutely amazing. Why? Because there's a difference between man and a difference between God. God has no limit. This is what the books say. God has no limit. That means you have no limit because the book calls you a God. That's why the book calls you a God, because you can rise above the physical limitations of this flesh. Let me say that again. You can rise above the physical limitations of this flesh. Well, wait a minute. I'm only going to be here 70, 80 years. No, that's because you're not following the book as a code. It's telling you how to eat to stay here for a long time. I've given you herbs and seed bran plants full food, Genesis 1:29, telling you what to eat. Here they come 2,000 years later. Oh, I'm a vegetarian. I'm a vegan. 2,000 years ago, the book was telling you to be vegetarian, vegan. That's what it was telling you. It gave you those things for meat, your fruits and vegetables. That's your meat. That's why they say the meat of the potato. They're giving you little clues, but you can't hear. You follow what I'm saying? So it's telling you what to eat. Anybody that's telling you that they believe in the Bible and they're not a vegetarian, then something's wrong with what they understand. As far as what the Bible is concerned, you know where I'm coming from? It's telling you how to eat. You're not supposed to be consuming flesh according to the book. That's why I keep telling the children as every chance I get. It's a very powerful book if you know how to read it. The reason why somebody right now is controlling your slave, all right? This is black and white people are being controlled. You know, their physical body is being controlled. It's being controlled through economics right now, okay, more so than anything else. But if you get out and start complaining, they'll put boots on the ground. They will physically put you back in your place, okay? I'm talking about the 1%. They know how to read the book. I'm telling you, they know. Did you see that the inauguration of Joe Biden, did you see that book he pulled out called it the Bible? Man, that thing was huge. I would like to get my hands on that book for a little while. But I'm just saying, I'm telling you, they know the code of the book. Now, where did they get the code from? Who first taught them these codes so that they can go out here and conquer the whole planet? They took that because they wasn't conquering the whole world. Hey, Rome hadn't even been over here, right? Hey, right? Rome hadn't even been on this side of the continent. So they weren't conquering the whole world. You follow what I'm saying? If we go back to Constantine, now this you can Google up Constantine and General Maurice, okay? General Maurice was a general in Constantine's army. And they went to attack followers of Yeshua, whom you call Jesus, the followers of Yeshua. And when he saw that they were not sect, now the followers, first followers of Jesus weren't Christian, so don't get mad at me, I'm just telling you this stuff. They were Gnostics, which means no is the truth. When he saw who they were, and he was a Gnostic himself, he said, no, I can't fight these people. You know, he took his uniform off and joined his brothers. You know what I mean? And his army loved him so much that they followed him. And here, Constantine's out there trying to conquer something. He found out that his brother's wife took over Rome. So what did he do? He said, yo, man, he submitted to the Gnostics. He became a Gnostic. And once he became a Gnostic, General Maurice started teaching him the codes of the book. And once he learned the codes and realized how powerful the book was, you know what they did to General Maurice? They made him a saint. Look up Saint Maurice, Saint Maurice. You know what I mean? This black brother, right? Who knew the codes of the book, right? People calling me. this brother who knew the codes of the book taught Constantine the codes of the book. You know, just like Bilal taught Muhammad. It wasn't the other way around. You can Google this information. There's information you can Google, okay? So they made him a saint. And once Constantine learn how to read the Bible as a code book, everything changed. Rome became powerful all of a sudden through the teachings of the book. That's why they reverenced the book. You can't go into a hotel or nowhere. You swear on the book when you go into office and all that stuff because they know the power of the book. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring you an understanding of how powerful the book is. And the book is telling you, you know, where the power is at if you're dealing with it as a code. Let's go into another code that we need. I mean, we need this one so bad, you know, with the story of Moses. I'm just going through there's still four or five codes until I get some pushback. All right. Until you go in and start looking at this stuff, what I'm telling you, and then you can talk with me on the radio. I need help. I won't be sitting there talking for 4 hours, but I love running my face. You know, but jump in. If you have a comment based on what your ministers are telling you and what you're learning as you read. Now, when you read the book, you need to read the book from cover to cover. Don't just go into one little passage as the minister sends you one page here, because he's occulting you. What I'm saying, I'm not saying assaulting you. He's occulting you. He's turning you into a cult. Cult people follow the cult leaders blindly. They don't ask questions. See what I'm saying? So if you're following anybody blindly, you're a cult member. All right? Or what they call fans sometimes, you know? I'm just telling you. You don't want to be culturized. Cult. Arise, not culturize, but colorize, all right? You want to learn the truth of the book so you can get the power from the book. There's a lot of power in this book for you and for your entire community if it's taught properly. You know what I'm saying? They want to give us reparations. They want to give black people reparations. Who's going to control the money? How are you going to handle the money? That was given to you with the story of Moses. Now, you can go through the whole cult thing. Oh, well, Moses, he crossed the desert, and he hadn't met his wife. And all that's culturalized, all that's culturalization. They're culting you. At the end of the story, what's the moral of the story? All of the tribes, okay, went to Moses, which is he was a Levite, and they gave 10% of the earnings to Moses. Now, every tribe didn't set up where they got 10%. They set up a centralized banking system. What do you think they got this from? You think these people coming out of that little cave knew about centralized banking systems? No, they did not. But the code in the book taught them. This has been in the book. This has been in the teachings for 2,000 years. Centralized banking. How come we haven't had centralized banking systems set up for ourselves? We function with the king and the queen, you know, and all that, and they controlling the money, but it wasn't centralized to the point that the people, see what I'm saying, had access to those funds. So for the houses and military and all that stuff, that's what the money is for. Centralized banking system. That's what the story of Moses was all about. Well, they love Moses. You think they put that story up there Sunday for nothing? You know what I mean? Moses was very prominent in them setting up the money system so they can build their tanks and bombs and planes and all that stuff because they set up a centralized banking system. Now, if you remember, go back with President Hansen and them. They're the founding fathers, okay? Excuse me, but President Hansen and them, they founded the system. They even wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's hard to Google that. They at one time you could get it. In fact, they had a European teaching on of where that stuff comes from. Not George Washington. They just stole it, put their name on it, did a military coup, took over the system, went to war against Britain, hooked up with the French, you know what I mean, and got their little butt kicked. You didn't win your independence in 1776. You declared it, but you didn't win nothing. You lost it. Anyhow, that's a whole other story. But this kind of stuff you can Google. Look up the Treaty of 1812. You follow what I'm saying? They made it like it was just one little war, Treaty of 1812. No, they fought for 33 years. It was a combination of 33 years of fighting, and they lost. Britain finally beat their butt, you know? I used to Google that who owned the United States. It came up as Britain. Britain, the Queen owned the United States and the and the Americas. It says the Americas. Why do they keep the name Americas? You follow what I'm saying? Because when the landmass was won, the Lemurians, which my brother used to teach on every week, the Lemurians came here, okay, from Mars. I don't want to get too far. Oh, Lord, he's going into Jupiter now. Where is he going with this? But they came here, okay? They couldn't find the continent, the Lemurian continent, until 2013. So they kept saying it was a myth and this, that, and the other because they didn't know where it was, but they did find it. See, once they found it, then they began expounding on it, okay? Now, I don't want to get too far off topic here, but I'm just going into the codes and how important the book is to them and what they use the book for. Now, what they're using the book for and what you're using the book for is two totally different things. Wondering why they can get out here and put their knee on one of your people's neck and you got to go to court to straighten it out. You follow what I'm saying? The book tells you about that too. It says settle your difference before you go to court because the court belongs to your enemy. The court belongs to them. You know what I'm saying? Now, people wonder how they're going to keep children out of jail. Our jails are overcrowded with black folks. Settle your difference before you go to court. This is how you keep your children out of jail. Teach them the law. Teach them what court is all about so they can make sure they don't go to court. If they know the rules, if they're doing something to break the rules, they know how to protect themselves. Look at these crooks down up there in Washington, D.C. I mean, you got some real crooks up there too, boy. And the whole thing is they're not going to jail. Look at all the corruption that Trump brought into the White House. You know, it killed everybody. It's just the corrupt as he can be. But nobody's going to jail. The ones that did go to jail, what did he do? Gave him a get-out-of-jail-free pass. He just pardoned all of them. I mean, this is how they roll, man, you know? But you have to wake up, not smell the coffee. We got to wake up and start drinking the coffee. Oh, I didn't do the commercial, but we'll do the commercial next time. I get tired of wasting time with the commercial. But the question on the board, right, if, or those of you on the line, who is God? That's the question on the board, right? Now, the topic on the board is why aren't our prayers being answered, all right? Now, I went through a little bit, but let's get right into it, okay? Your prayers aren't answered because you're not supposed to be praying. Oh, Lord have mercy. I know I'm going to lose some people now. You're not supposed to be praying. The universe works for you because your ancestors made this system out here, the suns, the moons. So your ancestors made all of that, okay? And they made it all to work for you. All of that stuff out there, the stars and the moons and the suns and everything. Well, the sun is a star, but all of that works for you. So how do you access that to keep the whole thing? Having access, how do you access that, all right? You have to learn how to meditate. See, once you learn how to meditate, okay, you begin to get into, there's light that you use to control things, okay? What you think about, you know what I'm saying? Because your mind is connected to the universe. And what you think about, that's what you're going to bring about. If you focus on what you want, see what I'm saying? That's why every day, every time you call me to prayer, part of our ritual is I have walked the path of being honest and good, and I will keep my mind focused on read what you saw. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the enlightenment, and I will get what I want. The object of my third son, go crazy again. The object is to get what you want, but you have to know what you want. See, if you start thinking about what you don't want, that's what you're going to get because the universe is reading your mind based on what you're putting out there. It's frequencies. Based on the frequencies that you're putting out, excuse me, the universe goes into motion through what you throw, through action and reaction to bring you what you want. Now, if you decide, well, I want to go to school to be a lawyer, well, that's what you want. You want to be a lawyer. And you're telling the universe this is what you want to do. And through action and reaction, the universe is setting things up for you to make it to law school. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, especially if you're broke, but you can do this. You can put that little slave out there. That slave will get you what you want if you're determined. okay? But now, if time come, you get out of high school, time come for you to sign up for college, and you sign up for medical school, and you wonder why you're in medical school catching hell, because you wanted to be a lawyer all the time. You should have went to law school. There's nothing wrong with law. There's nothing wrong with medical school, but that's not what you want to be. You don't want to be a lawyer. You don't want to be a doctor. You wanted to be a lawyer. That's what I'm saying. Figure out what you want as early in life as possible. I don't know how many young people are lying here, but as early in life as possible, figure out what you want. Figure out what you want. Stay focused on that. Prepare, become obsessed about getting that thing that you want. Yeah, you have to study. You have to learn. You have to, you know what I mean? You don't want to sit on the outside of the circle. You want to get on the outside of the circle chasing things around. You want to sit in the middle of the circle. Watch things go around. See how other people got their law degree. See how other people got their first $1 million, okay? And then after you study and you prepare, reach up and grab what you want. There's nothing out here that you can't have. Everything is in your grasp. Everything is in your reach. But you have to know what you want. Excuse me. People start off on a journey to New York. Well, I'm going to New York. And they tell the universe, I'm going to New York, and I'm going to start a whole new life in New York. So the universe is beginning to prepare for you in New York what you need, you know, and what you get when you get to New York, what you need will be there. But instead of you going over to New York, you find something that you like in Jersey, and you buy a house in Jersey. Now you're in Jersey catching hell wondering why. All your energy is going to New York, and you don't stop in Jersey. You know what I'm saying? Figure out what you want. Be true to what you want. Be true to what you want to have. You know what I'm saying? And whatever you need, this is how it works. And this is what the 1%, the people that follow the book, that know the book, they know this. Whatever you want, you don't have to pray for it. All you have to do is acknowledge that this is what you want. And the universe will automatically begin bringing it to you. But you, as it's bringing it to you, you have to be going towards it. You know what I mean? Just think about what I'm saying for a minute. All this is coming out of the book. All this is coming out of the book, okay? The key, our culture, okay, there's two cultures, all right? Now, all this is coming from the book, okay? There's two cultures. You dancing and singing and jumping up and down and hooping and hollering, that's not a culture. That's a distraction that the leaders put out every day. Every week, so you spend all your time doing that, and you don't know what they're doing. But what's that old saying? The right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing. That's what's going on. You know, you got people. You got some young people. You can ask them about LeBron James. He'll know his stats, where he live at, how old he is, what he had for breakfast this morning. They know all that. Ask them something about politics or religion. I don't know who ran for who's the mayor. I don't know who's the councilman. I don't know what's going on with city council. And these people are locking you up, making rules to keep you in jail. You know what I'm saying? And you don't know nothing about it. Figure out what you want. Study what you want. Learn what it takes to get what you want. And then go for it, because according to the Bible, okay, Psalm 82, unlimited potential. As a God, as a man, you're limited. As a woman, you're limited. But as a God, you have unlimited potential. Now, let's talk about who God is. Nobody checked in. I didn't get not one. No, nobody opened up the mic to tell me who God is. All right. Well, let's talk about who God is. All right, now, let's go back to the uncaused cause. All right, we got the uncaused cause. Now, what does that mean? That means every time you can go back, well, who made this? Who made that? Who made him? Who made him? Well, it'll blow your brain, blow your mind. So the thing is, who you get to the point that has to be a point where something was just here. And that's what we call the unthought God. Okay? Because it, you can keep going back and back and back and back and back. Well, who made this? Who made him? Who made him? Who made her? Who made her? On and on and on and on. But you want to come to a point where there was an uncrossed cause. Something had to just be here. And according to our scientific research, everything in the cosmos, everything in the universe is made up out of energy. So if everything is made up out of energy, the uncrossed cause had to be energy. Okay? That would be your source. We call that source energy. Now, wait a minute. How did all this stuff come about? All right? Because now we're talking about, now when I'm not talking about God, because men and women are God. Okay, I did say who God is. That was a trick. That was a trap question. But the source energy, right? That's where everything came from. Because at one time, the only thing was here was source energy. And source energy went into motion and began bringing about everything in existence today. All right? You are part of what source energy is bringing into existence. And in other words, you are the universe expanding itself. That's why you have no limit, see? So when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, you're seeing energy because everything is made up out of energy. So you are in effect a part of source energy. Now, you're not all the energy, but you're part of source energy. So when they talk about that which brought everything into existence, see, that's why we use the term. That's supposed to be all, but we use the term Allah. Because Allah means everything in the universe at the same time. That's what Allah means. It means all. But the occult people get this information, okay, they lock you into the cult mentality. And you don't ask questions. You follow people blindly. And if they be saying something, even if it's wrong, you'd be going right along with it. You follow what I'm saying? Hey, I've been in quite a few cults, so don't get me started on the cults. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, the Dr. Ali. Well, we had Marcus Sire Darby. Well, we had, see what I'm saying? Once you get caught up in the cult thing, it's hard for you to expand your brain through your mind, because you're not going past what the occult people are telling you. You know where I'm coming from? And the book is telling you that you are unlimited. You're not supposed to be following anybody but yourself. I mean, you can walk with people. If I'm going to New York, you're going to New York, let's go together. That's fine. But if I'm going to New York and you're going to Washington, right? And then you hear me speak, and all of a sudden I'm not going to Washington no more. I'm going to New York. You're caught up in the cult. You know what I'm saying? You're caught up in the cult because what you was planning on doing in Washington, the universe has set that up for you. You don't change your mind in New York, catching hell. You are dependent on the cult leader for everything. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't get enough for yourself because you weren't prepared to go to New York. Listen, listen. The Bible is a very powerful book. I'm just giving you the introductory information to get into the book. I just went through just a few books, okay? You know, there's 80 books, all of them not in the Bible, but there's 80 Gospels in other words. Okay, I got them all right here. You know, they call them missing books, but they're not missing. Anybody that wants them, you can get them. You can go online and buy them. So I'm just saying, they're not missing at all. They don't want you to look for them. They don't want you to look for anything. They only want you to do what they tell you to do, okay? They want control over your slave. Think about it for a minute. Everything is designed in this society. When you're dealing with politics, whoever get the most people to follow them, they come to power. You know what I'm saying? Because the slaves are the power. Your slave is the power of the planet. That's why they say people are the power of the planet. You are the power of the planet. Without you, nothing can function. So the more people that are coming into the Christ consciousness, I mean, realizing who they are, realizing that they are the gods of this system here. You know what I'm saying? They are the gods of the system through Elohim, through their Elohim, God within, God who I am. That's what Elohim means. It means that you have an incorporeal entity inside of you that's very powerful and can do so much if you let it. But if you keep calling yourself this, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a queen, I'm a king, all those things, that's not who you are. You are the gods of this world. The Quran called your vice Jared. That's some type of equal power to God. Well, they wouldn't say equal power to God, but look up for vice Jared. Google this stuff. Some of the stuff you can Google, some of the stuff you can't, you know? Now, when we get into how you came into this particular dimension and set it up, now you can't Google that. Because they go into some kind of Big Bang theory, and that's not what happened. There was never no Big Bang. That's what I'm saying. But that's a whole nother lecture. Maybe we'll get into that next week. But and there was no evolution. Don't get caught up in the theory. I'm going to say it real slow because some of us can't hear it. In the theory of evolution, they don't say Darwin's facts of evolution because it's not a fact. It's not factual. You haven't been evolving. You've been just like you are right now. I'm talking about modern man using one of the terminologies from the Darwin hookup. No modern man is indigenous to this planet. Didn't come by looking elsewhere for your origin, okay? Oh, we all started in Africa. How could we all start in Africa when the planet was here before there was an Africa? You were here before there was an Africa. You understand what I'm saying? So they thought the haplogroup and the DNA and the mitochondria and all that kind of stuff. They're just dealing with the blood type. But that's linking you into the physical aspect of yourself. They can't determine where you came from as an incorporeal entity. They don't have the technology. See what I'm saying? Just like the carbon dating. That's baby knowledge. See the carbon dating? That's why they really can't carbon date a rock. You know what I mean? They have to look inside to see if there's some kind of fossil or something in there and they carbon date that. But if they learn how to measure dark matter, see what I'm saying? And the buildup of dark matter on an object, as the dark matter flows through, they don't have a better dating system to let you know when this was here and when that was here. They can measure rocks and every doggone thing else. They haven't reached that technological level yet. Okay, we talk about it on Star Trek. Dark matter flows through everything in the universe. Now, when Source first started, it wasn't dark out here. Dark matter was made like everything else was made. You know what I'm saying? At one time, you could look into the universe before all of the stuff was made, and it was clear. There was nothing there. It's just clear. But once dark matter came, there's a purpose for dark matter. Dark matter pushes the entire system. You see what I'm saying? And the catalyst is the black hole. That's a whole nother. A lot of this stuff you can't Google. You ain't going to be able to Google it. Well, you can Google dark matter. I think they've gotten to the point that they can see it. They know it's there, but they can't do anything with it. Not yet. They're working on it. And, you know, God going to come up with a way to manipulate this. You got to realize who you're dealing with. You're dealing with God. You know what I'm saying? Which means that whatever we don't have today, we'll get it tomorrow. But trust me, if we don't have it today, we're going to get it. This is how your mind has to work as a God. You're unlimited. Stop calling yourself men and women. All right? That man is subject to being enslaved by somebody else. I don't have to confirm that. Everybody knows about slavery, somebody else trying to take over your slave. Everybody knows about that. All right, they're dominating your slave today. They're using economics as evident force, but economics is a form of force. You know, what it says in the Bible, poverty, okay, is the destruction of the poor, okay? The poor, you will have what you always. You will always have poor people. Well, poor people will be able to live. They'll be able to pay their bills and eat and all that stuff. But a poverty-stricken person, no, they living out of garbage can, sleeping on the street. You see what I'm saying? And that poverty will make you do some strange things. Poverty will destroy anybody if they can force you into poverty. Now, they're forcing people into poverty in Yemen. How are they doing it? Military force. They're using military force to force people into poverty. Food trucks are lined up miles down the road, but they can't get in because somebody put boots on the ground. The Arabs put boots on the ground, stopping the food from going into Yemen. So they're creating poverty. And when you get enough people in poverty, they're going to submit that slave to do what you want them to do. Trust me, they don't have no choice. You know how the rappers say, get down and lay down? That's what they're talking about, you know? I'm just giving it to you from a different perspective because you don't know you're a slave master, and you don't know the power that you hold over your slave and what you can make your slave do, okay? You can stop. It's like the people that are getting high or addicted to drugs. You can stop overnight. You can literally stop overnight if that's what you want to do. But it has to be what you really, it has to really be what you want. The problem is that if it's not what you want, you're going to go back and forth, hit and miss, and, you know what I mean? And that's not what's up, okay? I'm just giving you a different perspective on this whole thing. Okay, you can Google some of the stuff. You can look it up. You can start dealing with the Bible, the code book, and you'd be surprised at the power. You can even get a DNA awakening where you personally can read your own DNA. They're beginning to read DNA now. I'm just going through some of it, so we only got about 2 minutes left. But you can personally read your own DNA. Now, wait a minute. How can I get a DNA awakening? That's in the teachings of Yahshua. That's why they love him so much. You understand? Because through his teachings, you can have a DNA awakening, and just 2 strands of DNA is enough. It's enough stuff there to hold the entire Library of Congress. That's how powerful your DNA is. You think that they launched this big DNA search on everybody that's searching all that because they want you to know where you come from? No, separate strands of DNA have different information in it. And as this DNA is coming in and the computer begins to stockpile this information, they're reading into your ancient history to find out how in the world, where in the world of technology came from for you to build, to put planets and stars up there. How did you do it? They want to know. And it's all in your DNA. Now, I'm going to do a closeout right now. Before we actually go off the air, I like to do this while we're streaming. I have walked the path of divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out are eagerly and virtuous returns. So let it be written, so let it be done. Now, just think about what I'm saying, all right? I know it's a little different than what you do. I know it's a little different to what you used to hear. It's like the way they talk about love. They teach love as an obsession when it's not. Love is the act that makes others feel good. If both of you in a relationship and you're doing everything you can to make each other feel good, the relationship will last forever. You know, I'm trying to make people jealous to see if they love me or I'm gonna see if they'll fight for me and fight over me and all that kind of stuff. That's the stuff that's causing people. That's madness. You know, they're teaching you how to be crazy. We're trying to bring you back through. Okay, to the other side. 1927. I want to say hi. I'm trying to get back at you a little earlier, but I will. There's been a lot going on, and all those that are on the line, I want to thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Let me know what you're hearing. We got about 10 seconds left, so 44. I ain't going to go for all the numbers, but thank you, for checking in. And the reason I haven't been on for a few minutes is because something's wrong with my vocal cord. Like even right now, I'm having trouble talking just for 1 little hour. And I'm putting out a new album, so I'm doing a lot of singing and all that kind of stuff. So something, I think I overworked my cord or something. So if some days I'm not on the air, it's not because of wanting to be, because I can't talk, okay? So with that, I'd like to say love with the acting, I feel good. And I will be on the air tomorrow, and we'll chit-chat some more tomorrow. Much love, guys.